Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers.
On the broadcast today, we have an all-pundit program with Brian Walker, Marsha Burke-Bigler, and Andrew Diss.
It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. One of the things I love about the Carson Valley Inn here in beautiful downtown Mendham is CB Steak. I have eaten here so many times. Tell folks what they can expect when they come here to eat.
It's a beautiful room, great service. We have certified Angus beef, seafood, lamb, a great range of appetizers, and wonderful desserts. Jean-Michel's done a great job of selecting some beautiful wines for us. The customers love it, and we've got a great selection of cocktails as well. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great all-pundit show for you today with a terrific lineup, along with my co-host Rachel Dahl, who is the president and publisher of the Fallon Post. In studio, we have Andrew Diss. He's vice president of government affairs for the Morello Group. Marsha Burke-Bigler, former Washoe County Commissioner, and Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Brian, you have been in Carson City for redistricting. Tell us what you are seeing so far.
Well, I think, Sam, we've seen what we expected to see. The Democrats are the majority party, clearly in control, and those maps were always going to reflect that. I think it's interesting that we've seen some disconnects with those minority communities in CD1 and whether or not those are going to be amended into the final bill today is an open question. But I think that, Sam, is really kind of the only surprising thing to happen this weekend.
Were you not surprised at how much was pushed into CD3 to make that a much less competitive district?
You know, well, that's what I'm saying, Sam, is I think that the surprising part was the discussion around CD1 and how those additional communities were going to be allocated into CD4 and CD3. But I think the end result isn't surprising. You're looking at non-competitive Democratic seats in CDs 1, 3, and 4. And so I don't think that is a surprising outcome at all.
Andrew, you know, with Republicans no longer in power and Democrats in power, is there any surprise that this is what we're seeing?
I don't think so, but it's one of those things, Sam, be careful what you wish for, because when you try to ram it through and make maps look as one-sided as we're seeing right now, there's a possibility it could come back and change. If you remember when Republicans had full control, Governor Sandoval was in power, Michael Roberson was the Senate Majority Leader, and Republicans controlled the Assembly, people were worried during that 2015 session that Republicans would come in and just redistrict then. in the middle of the 10 years. There's nothing preventing that in the Constitution. You can actually redistrict any time. So you just need to be mindful that things could switch back the other way.
And James Settlemyer was on the program yesterday, and he said exactly the same thing, that when the Republicans had the chance to do this in 2015, they did not take that opportunity, and they could have done. Marcia, any surprises here for you?
Yeah, I'm always surprised when, I did redistricting years ago for Barbara Vukanovich when she was a congresswoman, and I'm always surprised when the powers that be, whether they be R's or D's or whatever they are, try and tend to forget, shall we say, that the populace really has a say. And so when you move natural groups and separate natural groups just because you want to put R's into this one or D's into this one, I think that creates a lot of potential problems, and it's not really listening to what the citizens want. And that's what reapportionment really in the real world should be about. We know we don't live in the real world, we live in a political world, so I realize that, but I'm surprised that the D's are being as serious about creating D districts rather than creating positive districts.
Rachel? I'm really fascinated by the splitting of communities in several different places. You've got the Walker River Tribe and some, and the Carlin out of Elko County. So explain just kind of for us regular folks why it would be bad if you're in the Walker River Indian Reservation to have two separate representatives.
Right.
Why? Is that a bad thing?
My personal opinion is that it's nice if you get more representation, but it's bad if you get two people who are vying for specific things. And the other problem is that Walker River Indian Reservation is a small reservation with a small population of people. Now it has two representatives who really have bigger populations that they have to worry about in other places. So are they really going to focus on the needs of that smaller community? And I think that's the biggest concern I would have. I really like to see us be concerned about what the citizens want, not concerned about how I get elected at my next office.
Okay, Brian, is that even close to reality, being concerned about what the citizens want rather than partisan needs?
I think there's some underlying principles when you're looking at redistricting, and we heard a little bit from the legislative committee, the joint committee that reviewed these on Saturday, you know, some of their priorities that they're looking at. And so it is, I think, problematic when you do split those communities, especially, you know, several of the Indian reservations, when, you know, as a community, you're trying to get the attention of two elected officials or three elected officials, as opposed to have one voice and kind of a centralized representation, that's always going to be preferable. And I think we saw a last-minute amendment last night from the majority party that rectified several of those rural issues that were included. So like the Walker Paiute tribe is now completely in CD4. And so some of those have been addressed. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of today's conversation.
Andrew, what about the idea of expanding the legislature up to its maximum of 75 people? Does that have any prayer of getting through at all?
I don't think so. You haven't heard any discussion from the Democrats on that. You know, constitutionally, you can expand when you do reapportionment, but I think that they like the population where it is. It would also cost money. You have to enlarge the legislative building and account for, you know, the nuts and bolts that go on behind the scenes, but I just don't think it's reality at this point.
Litigation, we heard that word dropped yesterday, and I think it either sends cold chills up your spine or your big eye roll. Seriously, we're going there. Talk about, like, seriously.
Well, you know, we're all kind of, all of us here, we're in the bubble. We're paying attention. So if a suit is going to be brought, it's probably going to be brought by the minority party. We've already seen that they're not afraid to sue the legislature and sue their colleagues. We saw
and it be with, successful.
And be successful. And we saw it with the tax stuff over the last year. So I have no doubt that that's where it's going to end up. And, you know, 10 years ago, ultimately, this had to be resolved by special masters drawing the maps. And
that's right.
Maybe
right.
This exercise is all for naught, and we end up back there again.
Yeah. Marcia, what about the prisoner upload here?
So fascinating. I mean, I've been reading the comments from the citizens in various blogs, and they're really split very evenly about what differences it make where the prisoners are accounted for, since they're going to vote here in this place. And so now, isn't this going to increase the cost of voter ballots? Yes, some of those prisoners get to vote. So how are we going to make sure that the right prisoner is getting the right ballot and all of that sort of stuff, which I think is fascinating. A lot of those prisoners don't get to vote anyway.
Right.
So you know, it depends on kind of the overall picture of what's going on. But it's fascinating to me that that's an issue of concern, one I have never heard before. But I know it relates to a law that was passed during the last session. And or was it the last
session?
It was in 19, yeah. It was two sessions ago. So it's fascinating that that was an issue that they brought forward. And now, since most of those people don't get to vote, most of them, there are a few, but most of them don't get to vote, it's fascinating to me that it matters what district they came from. They don't live there now.
Yeah, Brian, Senator Settlemyer was concerned that when the prisoner upload information went into the system, it knocked out all these other maps and that they were no longer available. Did that bother you?
Well, I think this is part of it. It's very much a process story, Sam. I mean, we had a lot of time leading into this special session. There didn't seem to be any kind of hurry. And so I kind of questioned why we didn't have accurate information to the public sooner. And it's also interesting that, you know, a solution was found within 24 hours. So I do have some questions about that. And I do think that the public should have had a chance to look at the actual data. As you know, on those congressional districts, you were only allowed to be off by one person. And so that's what, you know, highlights the need to make sure that you're assigning voters to the correct congressional district so that you meet that federal requirement. And so I do think that the public didn't get to share fully in the process, but that's something that, as you know, Sam, I've said over and over, that seems to be a new trait of the legislature.
That's the interesting part to me, is it's not like we knew last week that we had to solve this problem. This data should have been done a long time ago.
Well, Rachel, let me throw one at you here, which is, you know, it continues to show the diminishing of the power, if you can even say this, power in rural Nevada at this point.
Correct. Finding those 1,800 new people, change it. If you put those in a different community, you're taking representation out of the rurals. And sometimes those are it'll really affect Lovelock and White Pine, for sure.
It will. And the other thing that's interesting about that is that community has to deal with the fallout of having those prisoners in their community, but now they don't have the power or say over it because of the way they're doing it. So I think those are some of the questions that are being asked by the citizens on the various different blogs out there.
And my question is, should the next legislative session put up money to buy vehicles for these rural legislators who have to travel tens of thousands of miles to be able to go to their districts, which don't make any sense because they're from one side of the state to the other?
Yeah, Nevada's so unique with our two urban centers and then everybody being spread out. It does make it tough where you have those giant districts. Pete Kokichia's Senate district is massive, like that. And you talk to Pete, and he says exactly that. He's either spending a fortune on gas or he's spending a fortune on all the speeding tickets he's getting.
Yes, he just doesn't know the right offices. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with this great panel after this timeout.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were. The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers along here with Rachel Dahl, who's my co-host today. She's with the Fallon Post. We have Brian Wachter, Marcia Birkbigler, and Andrew Diss. And Marcia, you brought up an interesting point, which is, you know, it's not just Republicans that are complaining, but progressives who are not happy about this situation either. Explain why.
Well, I think because they really aren't a party to how things are being divvied up in the various different reapportionment districts. I think the progressives have an interest that is different than mainstream Democrats, just as the Republicans have a difference of opinion on how things need to be run that's different. And I think all three of these, the reality is we have all three of those. And we also actually have four, because technically, although in Nevada's legislature we probably don't have too many of these, but technically the National Republican Party also has its different wing of people who are thinking. So all of those people who have a vested interest in getting elected in these districts and want to make sure that they don't get kicked out of the district they're currently holding or get blocked out of running into one that they would like to run in, all of those people have an interest, and that's the progressives on one side and the Republicans on the other. This is not just about mainstream Democrats. The mainstream Democrats may think it's about them, but it's not. And the fair thing to do is to look at the broad picture.
Brian, your take on this?
Well, I think, you know, we can define terms a little here, Sam. What we saw at the legislature is Battleborn Progress, Mi Vote Familia, and several of the Hispanic-based voter outreach and support groups. And their concern is that they go from almost a 50% majority in CD1 to having at most about a third in either CD3, CD4, or CD1. And so it's really the same conversation we were having about the rurals or about any of these other communities, where are you diluting that community of interest in order to make sure that the districts are more competitive or are less competitive for the Democrats going forward. And so I think it's less progressive. And what we're hearing from the Hispanic community is they want their voice to count. And they think the best way to have their voice count is to be in CD1. And that's something that hopefully we will see addressed today at the legislature, but remains an open question.
Okay, Andrew, your take on this.
You know, I think that they came into this with an end goal in mind. And initial maps were
The
Democrats, with initial maps introduced, knowing all along that there would be two, three, however many different iterations. But the last one that they submit, that's the one that they planned on going with the whole time.
Yeah, so it's interesting just watching this process and whose ox is going to get gored. And basically, whatever way this lands, whoever we is, needs to get back to work, needs to go back to grassroots, needs to get people involved, needs to get people reading their local newspaper so that we are participating again and getting people involved and looking forward. Because it is, we talked about this yesterday, it really is the whoever wins gets to draw the lines.
Right.
Okay, but I mean, you know, the general public, right, I'll throw this to Marcia, you know, the general public at this point is worried about the price of gasoline and the price of chicken at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, redistricting is somewhat arcane, especially when they're only notified about this, you know, a day or so before the session comes together.
I agree, and that goes back to what I said earlier about making sure that everybody's participating in this process. You know, reapportionment is a key process for the political structure of any state and to make it so partisan that it's not fair to the average citizen is a problem. A problem we've lived with for years and years and
always.
Years and years. And so we know that it's a problem. But I think you're right that the average citizen is more worried about where the money's going to come from to fill my tank up. If you drive a big truck, it's over $100 to fill your tank up. You know, if you drive a electric car, you're not paying into the system to take care of roads and that kind of stuff. So, you know, all of those issues are issues that I think the average citizen is worried about. And you see it if you follow the blogs, which I seem to do a lot of lately. If you follow all the blogs.
So it happens when you retire from the
commission. I know. It's so much fun because I can have an opinion and I don't have to be careful about the politics. But I follow a lot of the blogs so I can keep up to date with what's going on. And it's just fascinating to see what the citizens are concerned about.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back with a great panel after this time.
Was that a question?
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on 2 floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with our great panel and our great co-host, Rachel Dahl is here from the Fallon Post. Brian Wachter is here, Marcia Burke-Bigler, and Andrew Diss. Go ahead.
Yeah, so does the average person even know? Did they have any idea this was coming? Only those of us who are junkies really paid attention. This should have happened during the legislative session. So your observation, Marcia?
My observation is the average person probably isn't even aware of what happens at the legislature or even who their legislator is. They become aware when they get concerned about a specific issue, a school district or, you know, whatever. I think the average citizen who's a parent and has children still in school, right now that's their major focus, is what's going on at the school. The average citizen who has had to deal with being off work because of COVID, their major issue is where's their next amount of money going to come from to raise their kids or to deal with it. So I think the answer to your question is no. I don't think the average citizen is even looking at this as an issue.
But Brian, groups like yours make a big point about sending out information on a monthly basis, if not even more frequently, to let your members at least know what's going on and for them to be involved.
Well, and Sam, that's a service that, you know, we provide our members, and that's something that they're looking for as part of their membership in the Retail Association. And there are a lot of citizens who are fully engaged. We can see that in public comments. There were over 700 maps submitted to the legislative website last week. And so we do have some citizens, but in any given time, whether it's this time of economic turmoil, whether it's, you know, out of COVID, name ID for legislative races is just never high. And you see that just time and time again. And so I didn't think there's little reason to expect more people are paying attention this particular time. I think it enters into the, you know, more of the partisan fighting that people might enjoy watching. But it's certainly not on the minds of the average Nevada voter or even the average Nevada citizen at the moment.
Okay, can I just go off topic here? Because we've only got about a minute left here. But I've been dying to ask Andrew this question because you're our gaming guy on the panel today. So Nevada's going to get $4 billion from the federal funds that are coming. It takes $1 billion to rebuild 6 blocks of Market Street in San Francisco. It takes $4.5 billion to build Resorts World in Las Vegas. How much is $4 billion in reality for the state of Nevada?
Well, it's a lot within the state, but the number one priority for gaming is widening the I-15 coming into Southern Nevada from California. The problem with that is it's wide on the Nevada side and then it bottlenecks when you get to California. And Gavin Newsom has always said for years that he is not going to subsidize sending California tax dollars to Nevada, and they're not going to widen it on their side. And you know who appoints all the members of the Caltrans board? The governor.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very, as always, we don't have enough time for everything. Marcia is busting to jump in. Ryan, thank you.
I'm just like, come on, guys.
It's a great panel. Thank you all.
Thank you, Sam.
Be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.